Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast.
I'm Angela Kelly Robeck, host of the Empowered Principal Podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
If you're wanting to successfully plan relevant lessons for any student or grade level, are ready to confidently design a curriculum that works for you and your students, or are overwhelmed when it comes to planning lessons and designing curriculum, then I would love for you to join me in the Curriculum Design Roadmap course. In this course, you will go from feeling overwhelmed with planning lessons each week to feeling excited to show up to work each day, and experience a new joy and passion for teaching elementary music because you've designed a classroom that you love. Think about how it would feel to go from feeling frustrated to successful when you sit down to plan lessons each week. Imagine how you'll grow as a teacher because you're teaching with confidence. And think about what will happen when you realize you are an expert to design your own curriculum. In just 5 weeks, you'll go from not having a curriculum in place to designing one that you love and that you will begin to use year after year. So if you're ready to join me in the Curriculum Design Roadmap course, simply head to jessicaparesta.teachable.com/p/curriculum-design-roadmap. And I cannot wait to see you inside. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited to be joined by Katie Jinks today, and we're going to be talking about designing a curriculum that works for you, and we'll get into kind of what that means and everything. So before we get going, Katie, I would just love for you to just introduce yourself. Tell us about the work you're doing of teaching kids and maybe your classroom and all those good things.
Sure. So I am a second year elementary music teacher. I teach TK through five, which is called Transitional Kindergarten in California. So I teach at a public school in Oakland, California, and my school is about 500 students. So it's a big school, and my background is in Kodai music education specifically.
Awesome. Well, that's great. Yeah, it's funny how down here in Arkansas and Oklahoma, it's called pre-K or PK. And so it wasn't until I started talking to other music teachers from other states, I had to seriously look up one time, what is TK? And then I realized it's the same thing. It's just labeled differently. Isn't that so funny? Like, I don't know.
Well, we do have pre-K and then we have TK. TK is very specifically based on like your birthdays. So it's like you have like a 6 to 8 month range. I think that is like, that's your TK range. If you don't fall in that, then you go from pre-K to kindergarten, no problem. But it's like a very specific California thing, I believe. It's kind of funny.
Okay. So seriously, I was 2 years old when I knew that too. See, I'm like, that's amazing though, because there's not always, I feel like I've heard about that before, but I feel like Oklahoma used to do that and then they stopped or some, I might be totally wrong, but I feel like there used to be like a transitional year. And Now I know some of the preschools around here do that, but I don't think I hear it happening so much in the public school setting anymore. It's just, you pre-K, the next year you're kindergarten, no matter what.
Right.
And so I
love
that. It's
relatively new. I mean, new within like maybe the last 20 years, maybe less. But I will say those TK kids who come to kindergarten are very prepared. They are the best kids in kindergarten. They already sort of know how to go to school and all that stuff.
That's great. Okay. That's awesome. Well, awesome. I am so excited to talk to you about designing a curriculum because, well, for a couple reasons. First of all, you, like you said, are second year teacher. You're going into your third year, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I have a course called Curriculum Design Roadmap, and I love that you've gotten to be a part of it. And I just want to kind of pick your brain about where were you at when you were designing curriculum? Like, I know what it's like to be a first year teacher and you're just like, all right, I kind of have a guideline, but not really. I don't, you know, and a lot of it you figure out as you get going. But why did you choose to join the Curriculum Design Roadmap course?
Yeah. In my, all my schooling and all of that, there are so many resources, and especially in Kodai Music Education, there's a very flexible but regimented structure of like how we learn and what we are learning at each stage of the grades and things like that. But when I entered teaching and it was really just my own classroom and the students that were different than like what you're sort of, or just, you know, they're a more modern group of children than the Kodai music education was planning for. And also I started in a school that had not had a music program in sort of the cultural memory of the school. So there was no structure for any music. There was no materials, anything like that. So getting started, I had all of these foundations, but I found that actually implementing them was not as plug and play as I might have thought. So it did require a lot of work to figure out how to actually make any of that fit, and figuring out that some of it didn't fit and what to do with that and how to sort of make it my own and make sure that the kids were getting developmentally appropriate and fun and interesting music education. And the first year was really just sort of surviving and figuring it out and getting through. The second year was much better, but it's still a challenge to figure out what to teach, how to do it at every level, especially when those kids from last year who are older beginners are still older beginners and they're still sort of learning those foundations pieces. So I felt really overwhelmed and stuck about how to actually figure out what to teach and how to teach it and the resources to use to teach it. And things that I felt were like, sometimes it would be a little boring for the kids, or it would just be too challenging. And I had a lot of resources, but I didn't know how to sort of figure out how to pull them all together to make them make sense and have a coherent lesson plan or a curriculum. So I had followed the podcast and I bought your book when I started teaching. And so I had gotten the emails and I was like, you know what? This is actually exactly what I'm looking for. I'm getting my credential made permanent this year with my mentor. And we had been talking about how to solidify like the lesson planning and the long-term planning and make it all make sense. And I was like, well, this actually popped up at the perfect time. So I decided to sign up.
That's awesome. Yeah. My story, you and I have talked before, and I know like I shared with you my story of starting at a school that had music for a while, and same, which is kind of like, how do I know what to teach when and where? And there's so much out there. I don't know how to make music relevant to my students who wanted a more modern approach as well. And it gets overwhelming. Like there's so many great things out there and they're all good, but it is overwhelming when you don't know where to start, or maybe you know where to start, but you don't know what to pull from when, like you said. And so that was my goal with this course, was to make like what I needed. I basically was like, I want to break it down in a way that makes sense from do this, then the next step is this, then after you do that, do this, in a way where it was something I needed. I needed someone to tell me how to do it from long-range planning to short-range planning, how to plug in assessments. And you sort of, a lot of it you probably already knew, but then it's like, oh, I didn't realize I should put it in that order, or I didn't realize I have done that, but that way makes more sense, or something like that. It's just kind of giving you guys, like it's called a roadmap, to follow so you can kind of come to it again and again and again when you need it. So I love your story. When you decided to enroll, did you like have any hesitations? Were you kind of like, I don't really know if this is going to help me, or any thoughts like that?
Maybe a little bit, just in terms of like, this is like, I have a tendency to sort of like resource hoard where I like collect all these things and then I'm like, do I actually have time to work with them? So I think there was a little bit of that of like, I'm investing in this for myself, but will I actually be able to spend time to make this happen? So I would say that was the only hesitation. I felt like the information was going to be really amazing. It's just a matter of like the time, but it came out at a nice time in that it's like end of year going into summer. So I like preparing myself to have time this summer to just spend time on developing that for the future.
Right. That makes sense. And so when you were talking about trying other things with your Kodai materials, and you also had an amazing mentor you just talked about, obviously those things are helpful with helping you to prepare curriculum, lesson planning, and all the things. But what has this course helped you maybe, I don't know, fine tune or helped in conjunction with those other things? How has that helped without causing overwhelm, like you just mentioned, without it being just another thing? How has it helped you with conjunction with those other stuff?
Yeah, I think that it, like the way that it takes the steps is pretty tangible. And for me, I love a to-do list. I love action items, things that make sense and can be done in a very like concrete way. So I think watching this or doing this roadmap was helpful in that it was almost like a little bit of accountability at every step of, you know, here's one thing that is a small manageable thing to, well, it's a relatively small manageable thing to think about, work on that. And then once you've done that, then you can move to the next thing. So I think that is helpful because oftentimes I'll be like, okay, I'm going to make my map. And then I like make my curriculum map and I'm like, oh my God, how am I supposed to plan for 9 to 10 months of the year? And then I just get overwhelmed and walk away. So this was helpful to be like, relax, you're going to go step by step and just take the time to actually spend on that. And I think in our conversation previously, we also talked about, which was helpful, like just realizing that you're not going to be able to do everything all the time. And just trying to remember that throughout the whole process and figuring out what to prioritize was something helpful as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And throughout the course, I remind anyone in the course that it's okay. There's no behind. And I always say that. I say there's no behind. There's no keeping up. There's no, it's your pace. And so although we do go through it live together, everybody can't go through it live together. But the cool thing is whether you are, you know, cohort one or cohort 10, which we don't have 10 cohorts yet, but I will be opening up the course again, you know, in cohort two. And if you're listening to this, that means the course is open right now. But whatever cohort you've gone through, you can rejoin live through any of the next cohorts if you would like to join live. Or you can always go back and go at your own pace and you can go back to any lesson you may have missed. And so that is the great thing about it, because I know for me, my personal learning style, there are some things I have kept up with in courses I've been in and some things that I'm like, I have to take a slower pace, and that's okay. You just have to give yourself permission to know what you need. And I love that you said that. It's okay. It's not, oh my gosh, I didn't keep up and she just unlocked module 3. I'm not even done with module 2. It's okay. It's there when I need it. So I love that you have that mindset about that. That's great. And so now that you've gone through the course and maybe you haven't finished it all, and that's okay, but have you noticed a mindset shift when it comes to maybe going back to school next year and when it comes to approaching teaching music to your students? Have you kind of noticed a little bit of a shift there?
Yeah, I think I still have the whole summer in front of me that I am planning on doing sort of the bulk of the work, but I think that I feel it is much more manageable. And I think even in the past few months, I would go back and rewatch little segments of it or go back and look at the resources after I'd already watched it the first time to just sort of remind myself like, okay, this is the next step for that. So I think I do feel like at every step of this long-term planning process, I feel like there is a little bit of support or guidance or instructions that make it a little more manageable. And so I'm looking forward to sort of getting some things down on paper or computer. And I'm feeling like that is every step of the way is guided in a supportive way.
Yeah, So there is something you mentioned that I didn't send you in the questions that I wanted to ask you is the fact that you at the very beginning, and you and I have had a former conversation about, you know, you have so much material to use and it's hard to try to figure out what to teach from and what to use and how to make, you know, those connections between what you're teaching and what your students, you know, the way they like to learn. And so when you're going throughout the course, have you noticed how, okay, I realize now how I can pull from this material, but I don't have to use everything in there, and I can identify when in the school year I would like to teach it. Have you kind of started thinking through that a little bit more?
Yeah, I think, well, there's parts about like the repertoire list or like the materials list. And that's been a goal of mine, honestly, since grad school, because that's a huge part of the Kodai philosophy as well, is like collecting your repertoire and like analyzing every song and all of that. But also part of the Kodai repertoire is a lot of outdated or inappropriate or just not like music that you want to use in this day and age. So there is a lot of combing through that. So I've been meaning to do that for a long time. This is a good reminder and support in doing that. And I think it's helpful in just sort of like getting my thoughts together. And I think with the building out of the scope and sequence and curriculum map and things like that, that narrows down the focus. Like, it's sort of hard to collect resources and analyze them if you don't have a plan in place for using them. So I feel like that's sort of been where I've been at certain points in the year before, is like, I have all this stuff and I'll have something I want to do and I'll do that, but it doesn't really relate to anything else. So I think starting with those structures of like, what are you even trying to do here? And then building in those resources or even finding extras once that idea is there, if you feel like something's missing, I do feel like much more prepared to move forward with building those resources and also letting go of ones that don't really serve me.
Yeah. And I show you guys how to start with the concepts and standards and why that's important, because when you focus on that, and like you said, you know what you're teaching and why you're teaching it, then it kind of, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but it is kind of a plug and play approach where, oh, I could use this song or activity. And it's just about making choices of what you could use to teach there. But we also talk about tracking data, because if it's not working, it doesn't mean the lesson didn't work. It just means there may have been a breakdown in the, you know, the way you taught it, or maybe it is time to plug in a different song to teach towards that concept. So it is all about tracking what you're doing, and you can plug it in. And so, yeah, it's just something that once you create these systems, I teach in the course, is something that you can keep using over and over again. And yeah, it's kind of, I always tell you, I think I talk about that in the course too, that the hardest part is the setting it up. The hardest part is just getting it going. And then once you do, it's something you can reuse over and over and over again. And so, is that something you're excited about? Which leads into my next question, is feeling a little bit more confident when it comes to planning curriculum.
Yeah, I think it's at the beginning of the year, last year, I felt much better than year one, but it is hard if you are planning it sort of week by week. And obviously there's flexibility in your map and your scope and sequence, and like things come up and life happens. But like, I started strong and then started sort of more planning week to week, and it just feels not as strong of lessons potentially, and also definitely does not help with stress or confidence and all that. So I think like having these things ready to go, and whether they shift weeks here and there, whether certain classes move forward faster, whatever it is, like feeling like I have a goal in mind, I have a direction, and that I don't have to sit there on a Sunday night and just be really stressed out and have those Sunday scaries is a big sigh of relief. Cause I think that like, doing the work of building that foundation is a lot of work, but it saves you a lot of that weekly day-to-day stress moving forward, and hopefully for years to come.
Yeah. Like you said, there's flexibility. There's always things that'll come up. There's always a class or grade level that'll be on a field trip or an assembly that pops up. There's always going to be stuff that happens. But I love to say this analogy, and I believe I shared it in the course or one of the Facebook lives, is it's like a house. If the house is just built with just the bricks and the wood and whatever they else they use to build a house. But there's no foundation there, the house is not going to stand. And I kind of think about that in the way of planning. Short-term planning is so important. But if that's all we're doing, and I'm guilty of this too, but as music teachers, if we're just doing the short-term planning, but you don't have the curriculum map and your scope and sequence, you're not focused on where you're going with long-term planning, then like you said, that's not sustainable. And that is where I feel like a lot of burnout comes from and a lot of overwhelm. Because it is, like you said, every Sunday night when you're sitting there going, oh my gosh, what am I teaching this week? You're focused more on the songs and the activities and just getting a lesson plan just because you have to, instead of, okay, I'm focused on this concept. I decided I'm teaching this for 3 weeks. It may go to four. It may end up being two, but I know I have a plan there that I can shift around if needed. And that's the goal here, is just to kind of change it. And that's why it's called backwards planning, because we're used to doing it forwards a lot mm-hmm. instead of looking at bigger picture and going backwards. And so a lot of that is just a mindset shift too, is wrapping your mind around planning that way. And once you do, I think it is a little bit confusing at first, but once you kind of grasp it, it makes sense and it does cause more ease. Mm-hmm. So yeah. What, and this may be hard for you to think of because I know there's a lot in the course, but what would you say your favorite part of going through the Curriculum Design Roadmap course was?
I think probably like building out that curriculum map and scope and sequence. I think I've heard a lot about that. I've sort of done research, but I haven't delved into it sort of in a deeper way. And again, like the Kodai philosophy and methodology has that built in, but I do think that there is room for flexibility and just, you know, having my own personal style and preferences and priorities of what to teach. So seeing those talked about and then being given, like literally being given the Excel spreadsheet to be like, here, you can do it in this. Like you don't have to create your own format or create your own spreadsheet. And then seeing examples as well, all that is really helpful. I find that I like to see examples of things. I don't feel like I often can just build something from scratch very easily. So having those tangible examples that I can move forward with, I think was the part that I was like, oh, okay, this is exactly what I am missing. And this is what I need to really focus on.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way. You know, you get training, whether it's in a bachelor's program, master's program, or levels course or whatever, and you learn the how, but you're also like, but the overwhelm, back to that word, I feel like for me too, I'm the same way, is it comes from, but I don't want to start from scratch. And if I do, that alone will take a long time just getting that set up to get building it. And so that was, I'm trying to help students in this course simplify as much as I can. So I am, yeah, like you said, providing examples, but also templates that you can use. And if you choose not to use those, it's totally fine. But if you do, you can edit it as much as you want. And so that is my goal, is to just give you a starting point. And it's the same sheets I have used for myself. And it's just like, here, you can use this if you would like. If you want to change it out, great. If you want to add your own standards, great. Whatever you want to do. But it's just to give you something that you don't have to build it from scratch if you don't want to. So a teacher that's listening, it says, okay, this sounds great. I feel like I need help when it comes to designing curriculum, but I just don't have time for one more thing. What would you say to that?
Yeah, ditto. I also don't have time for one more thing. And yet, you know, like I feel like as music teachers, we're all probably not just doing this one job. We either have families or we have two other jobs after school doing bands, choirs, orchestras, whatever, private lessons. So like, I feel like the majority of us are not just doing this one job. So in reality, like we all have so much on our plates. But for me, like I mentioned, I think feeling that weekly, daily stress of like, okay, what am I going to do now, actually takes up a lot of my mental space. And so freeing myself of that by like putting in the work in this concentrated and just efficient way, I feel like leads me to have a lot more time moving forward. So it's like investing in yourself and honestly your mental health to feel like you can have more of a grip on every week what you're going to handle. And maybe it's not all spelled out to a T, but just feeling like you have direction, I think has really saved me in even just these couple months and like looking towards the summer of like, I know where I'm going and I don't feel like I have to feel that stress. So I think, especially with the asynchronous part too, you can go at your own pace. Like, it is really nice to be able to watch one little segment. Maybe you work on it. Maybe you just leave it for a bit. Maybe you watch it again. But that part as well makes it feel like it's not like, I just did a 2-hour course, it's over, now I'm going to forget about it. Or like, you just feel like beholden to this timeline that is not your own. So yeah, I think it's going to pay dividends moving forward.
And I believe one of the first modules, I say I believe, like I should know this, but I'm pretty sure at the beginning I talked to you guys about time blocking. And one thing that really works well for my brain when I'm juggling 100 things is I do look at my calendar and intentionally see when I have open pockets to devote maybe an hour and say, okay, this is the hour I'm going to put it on my calendar. And if it's there and I'm saying I'm going to work on this part of whatever I'm working on during that hour, then I know I'm not going to schedule anything else. And that is, it's happening right then. And of course, you may need to move it around sometimes, but that is something that works great, is instead of saying, I don't have time, say, I do. It's just about managing my calendar and seeing where I have those open pockets to devote maybe just 1 hour a week. And maybe you don't have an hour a week. Maybe it's even 1 hour every 2 weeks. That's up to you how much you want to devote, but that has worked wonders for me. When I just finished my master's, that's exactly how I did it. I had to literally look at my calendar and say, instead of saying, I don't have time to do my homework and telling my professors, I had to say, no, they're telling me I have to turn it in by Sunday. So when in the week am I doing this? And I had to look at my calendar. It would be different every single week. And so that's something that works great, is looking, being intentional instead of getting to the end of the week and saying, oh my gosh, I didn't get to that. Say, when can I get to it? And that, it really does help my brain a lot to do that.
Yeah. I think also with like, we have prep time, or at least I have prep time built into my schedule, but sometimes it's hard to, if I don't have a plan for that prep time, it's very easy, like after having two really hard classes, to just like sort of sit there and just decompress, which is also important. But I think like planning that out a little bit more, so that you use that time effectively too, which gives you more of your own time, your unpaid time to yourself, is a good strategy as well.
That's perfect. That's a good point for sure. So what about another teacher that's, or any teacher listening that is hesitant to join for any other reason? What would you say, like, maybe they're hesitant because they're like, I don't know if it'll help me, or it's, I don't know, whatever they're thinking, what would you say to encourage them?
Yeah, I think for me, again, like the couple biggest issues that I have faced in the first couple of years of teaching is too many resources and not knowing either what to do with them or how to actually fit them in a cohesive and way that makes sense for a long-term goal. And then also just having long-term goals and learning to backwards plan as part of that. So I think that there is a lot of stress with being a teacher that comes from whatever of those insecurities you have. Those are the two that sort of come to mind for me specifically, and that have caused me a lot of stress. And I haven't felt that I had either the brain space or the capacity or the capability to figure out how to fix those things. They feel so unwieldy. So going through this really made me feel like, okay, I have a plan. And I know how to get there. It's not just that I have goals, but I actually know how to make it there with these tangible steps and action items and activities and templates. So I think it's like working smarter, not harder, honestly, and using the time that I have this summer to be able to build out that work so that come fall, I feel prepared and excited rather than stressed and not prepared.
That's good points. So after enrolling, I love asking this because I love hearing different students' feedback, but was there anything that surprised you in a good way after you enrolled there? Like, oh, I didn't know I got this, or I didn't, whatever it might be. Was there any surprises?
Well, I think the resources are really helpful, like the templates and things like that. I think those are really helpful. And I was someone who, like, I think prior to starting teaching, I love things on paper and physical format, but digital also just makes sense in terms of like having it be long-term and be flexible. You can always edit and you could keep it for next year and things like that. So that's been a good like transition tool for me, is all the resources. And I think having a coaching call built in was really nice, because I sort of just got to like spew all my insecurities at you and like be like, wait, but I don't know how to do this. Wait, this is a random thought, but how do you figure this out? And so even from that call, you gave me like four other different resources that I'm now looking at and things like that. So, or just the chatting with another music educator. I think the isolation is real with all teachers because you're just in a room by yourself. And especially with music teachers, when you're the only one at your school, probably you're not really getting that bouncing of ideas or just like, not commiserating, but like sharing the difficulties and like idea sharing and things like that. So it's nice to be able to talk to someone who's experienced and has ideas and solutions, but also can just be like, yeah, this is hard. It's it's okay. That's part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Before we go, is there anything else that you want to share about the course that others may want to know about?
I don't think so. I mean, I just feel like it was a really good investment for me. Like financially, obviously, we're teachers. We don't make $1 million a year, but it's really affordable for the amount of work. And I feel like the work that you've put into it, it's like there's so much material, but not overwhelming, but there's so much material, there's resources. You've been responsive when I've had questions about things. And so it feels like you're sort of signing on to more of a like community and like not just this finite thing that ends after you finish. So I feel like it's been a worthwhile investment to hopefully just make us all feel more confident and like we're doing a good job and always being there for our students moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. That's my goal with everything is to support music teachers. You're right. Like, it doesn't matter, like, if the course finished. Like I said, doors reopen, and then I'm constantly supporting you. I have someone right now who's going through the course because she couldn't go through it during the 5 weeks, who was in cohort one, and she's slowly going through right now and asking questions actually on the Teachable platform, and I'm answering her as she asks them. And so you're not like, okay, well, you're done. Bye. No, you're still getting support. We're still in there checking questions and making sure everybody's good. And it stays unlocked for you to go through on your own time. And then back to the financial piece. If I do have a way for, if your school wants to pay or your district, we have a way for them to pay for you as well. And just talk to me if that's an issue for you to join and we'll go from there. But thank you so much, Katie, for coming on the podcast. I've really loved talking to you because I love hearing real student stories about what you've gotten from the course. So I appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.